The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
You may remember recently there was a situation whereby at Davos, you know, that forum for the billionaires, this Dutch historian Rutger Bregman became something of a global sensation after he appeared there accusing billionaires of ignoring taxation. Now, he's created another viral moment after the broadcaster, the publication of an extremely uncomfortable interview with Fox News' Tucker Carlson, one which Fox never aired. But Bregman and his friends recorded at their end, and Tucker Carlson got so wound up that he ended up calling the Dutchman a moron and told him to go F yourself. Yeah, expletives deleted. Let's hear, similarly, part of this unbroadcast interview.
You know what the Murdochs basically want you to do is to scapegoat immigrants instead of talking about tax avoidance. So I'm glad you're now finally raising the issue, but that's what been happening for the past couple of years.
And I'm taking orders from the Murdochs, is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, it doesn't work that directly. But, I mean, you've been part of the Cato Institute, right? You've been a senior fellow there for years. You've been taking their dirty money. They're funded by Koch billionaires, you know?
Wait, why don't you tell me how it does work?
Well, it works by you taking their dirty money. It's as easy as that. I mean, you are a millionaire funded by billionaires. That's what you are. And I'm glad you now finally jumped the bandwagon, you know, of people like Bernie Sanders and AOC. But you're not part of the solution, Mr. Carlson. You're part of the problem, actually. So, I mean, you're probably not going to air this. But I went to Davos to speak truth to power. And I'm doing exactly the same thing right now. You might not like it, but you're a millionaire funded by billionaires, and that's the reason why you're not talking about these issues.
But I am talking about these issues.
Yeah, only now. Come on, you jumped the bandwagon. You're all like, oh, I'm against the globalist elite, blah, blah, blah. It's not very convincing, to be honest.
Why don't you go f*** yourself, you tiny brain, and I hope this gets picked up. Because you're a moron. I tried to give you a hearing, but you were too annoying for me.
You can't handle the criticism, can you?
Now, Cal Thomas, you say I'm rude occasionally in interviews. I'm not Tucker Carlson.
No, Matt, I had a show on Fox for 2 years. I was with that network for 19 years. I never treated any of my guests like that. I think it's disgusting, frankly. You don't win an argument by calling names. There were a lot of things he could have said in response to that, but he chose to go low instead. And it's really embarrassing. And I think this is part of the problem on all networks and in a lot of speech from the president to a lot of other people in the media. The level of vitriol has gotten so high and disgusting that we can't even have civil conversations anymore with people with whom we may disagree. You and I have known each other for a long time. Marion and I have known each other for a long time. We agree on some issues and disagree on others. But I hope you always think that I've treated you both as a gentleman, because I respect you both and I know you both. But we don't get that anymore, and it appears like professional wrestling. It's all fake, but it gets the readings because people tune in to juice themselves up on this kind of thing. And then they go out and some of them, the more twisted ones, commit violent acts.
Well, that brings me to Donald Trump, Cal, because, look, I'm well aware broadcasters, journalists make loads of mistakes. I've made many, many, too many to mention over the years. But whatever mistakes are made, it doesn't justify the likes of Donald Trump, but the latest one, the New York Times, enemies of the people. When you get politicians whipping up public sentiment up against the media, calling them enemies of the people, surely that's a step too far. That is dangerous.
I agree, Matt. I've been in this business in journalism since I was a copy boy at NBC News beginning at 18 years old. I'm proud to be a journalist, but I must say there are an awful lot of people who are sullying the profession. I wish the president wouldn't talk about the media like this. If you think back to Ronald Reagan, most of the media were not fans of his, but for the most part, he did an aw shucks thing, or he responded in a kind way, or he responded with an argument that countered their argument. That's the way you do it. You don't you don't beat up on a free press. And as bad as it is, and as critical as I've been of some in the media, I think calling them names and the enemy of the people is frankly disgusting and counterproductive.
Mary McKeown, you've been working in the United States for many years. Have you ever seen it as badly divided as it is now?
No, I haven't, Matt. And just to say, Cal, this is one of the occasions where we do agree, and I agree with everything you've just said. But, you know, Tucker Carlson has made a career of late out of exploding on air. It's like outrage. And it's a bit like the Alex Jones and the Rush Limbaugh. These people get ratings through being angry and appearing absolutely frustrated by people for on the centre or people who disagree with them. Now, it's interesting. I mean, with this economist, who I really respect, you know, what sauce for the goose, as they say, is sauce for the gander. He, you know, Tucker Carlson applauds him for speaking truth to power at an organisation that Tucker Carlson mocks and despises. But when he addresses his arguments to Tucker Carlson, he becomes really angry and furious. So it's okay when you're dissing my, you know, my enemies in Carlson's thinking, but don't disagree with me. And that's not journalism. You know, that's not journalism. That's not you know, any interest in trying to elicit an interesting viewpoint or a contrary viewpoint or to have a coherent discussion. So people like Tucker Carlson and Ann Coulter and all these people, and, you know, the left has its people as well who do all this exploding and postulating, and it's not helpful. And I agree, it comes from the top at the moment. Donald Trump has set such a toxic, angry tone, and again, all for ratings. You know, it's all whipped up, it's all fake, and it you know, it trickles down and gives people like Tucker Carlson permission to say these things. But it didn't start at Donald Trump. Dick Cheney told a senator on the floor of the Senate to go F himself. He said exactly the same thing as Tucker Carlson back in 2002 or 3 because of something that Pat Leahy did that Dick Cheney didn't like. He was on the floor of the Senate. So, you know, it didn't start yesterday.
Okay, but imagine what it's going to be like next week, Cal, if the reports are true and Special Counsel Robert Mueller gives the report into his 2-year-long investigation into Trump's alleged connections to Russia.
Well, that report, if it comes out next week, and I don't think it will, because the president will be in Hanoi talking to Kim Jong-un about his nuclear program. I think that would be really bad timing. But the way this works, Matt, is that the Mueller report will go to the new Attorney General, Attorney General Barr, and then Mr. Barr will determine whether to release a summary or the entire record. We might remember that Ken Starr, the special prosecutor during the Clinton administration, released the entire record. And I think that's the best way to go, frankly. Let the American people judge it. Let it not be filtered through either the administration or the media. People are smart enough to make their own conclusions. Release the whole thing unless there is privileged information or some kind of top secret information.
We'll do that next week. Marion, there's been a lot of coverage here on this programme of a story in Britain in recent days. Shamina Begum, who as a 15-year-old fled London, went to work with ISIS, now wants to go back to Britain, and she's been stopped because her citizenship is being revoked, or an attempt to do so. Similarly, there's a very interesting one in the States of an older woman, Hoda Mathuna, 24 years of age. She has told The Guardian that she regretted leaving the US to join ISIS and wants to return from Syria with her 18-month-old son. And yet, apparently, America is going to refuse to take her back, saying she's not a US citizen. How could she not be a US citizen if she was born in Alabama?
You know, I think that Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, are completely wrong here. She is a US citizen. It's really, really hard to lose your citizenship. And if this goes to court, which I suspect it will, I think the court will find that she is a U.S. citizen. Now, that's not to say that she shouldn't come back to the U.S. and face the U.S. courts and go to trial and very likely go to prison in the U.S. I mean, she did release information about a White House schedule when Barack Obama was president. She did call for, you know, people to strike against America. You know, she behaved as a terrorist. Now, she may have been brainwashed or bullied or whatever, but she is a 24-year-old woman who took these actions when she was in her late teens, early 20s. So I think she should be returned to the United States. Donald Trump is asking other countries to take back people, you know, their citizens, and to you know, subject them to their court systems. America should do exactly the same. She should come back to the States. She should be tried for whatever charges are pending against her, and she should be subjected to American law.
Okay. She's not from Alabama. She was born in New Jersey to parents from Yemen who became naturalized American citizens. Cal Thomas, is what Marion suggests not the way it should be done, that she should face the full rigors of the court system in America?
Well, that's one way, Matt, but I would also say that every country has the right to determine who comes in and who doesn't. I looked this up. The Garda reported, and the Irish Times printed it, that in Ireland last year, nearly 2,000 people were denied entry into Ireland. The same thing happens in nations all around the world. When I come to Ireland, my passport is stamped. I get a limited time there. If I want to stay longer, I have to apply for permission. I have American friends who are living in Dublin right now who have to apply every year to extend their time. I don't have any problem with that. As far as the citizenship goes, this is an issue, as Marion says, that will probably be settled in the courts. But she wouldn't be the first person in U.S. history to have their citizenship revoked or their passport canceled. When I apply for a passport, and I suspect when you do too, I have to fill out certain things, and it's the right of our governments to determine whether we will get one or not.
Okay.
So I don't have a problem.
I don't think that can take away your citizenship, though, if you're born in a particular country. We have to leave it there. We'll talk to you both next Tuesday, Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown, as ever. Thank you for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.